grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what's in a name? We all have them. Some cultures put a lot of meaning into the names, a lot of thought into naming children and in family names that have rich history and tradition. Other names are done because they all start with the same letter. And so you have families where all of the kids have the same first letter of their name, and it's the reason that was done. My brother and I, my older brother shares the initials with my dad. I share initials with my mom. Then my younger brother was born and all the initials were used up, so. And my sister, so yeah, they had to change tactics. But names carry a lot of weight, even when they don't have a lot of traditional meaning. They still carry a lot of weight. It's important for people to know your name. It feels awkward when you forget somebody's name, even if they've told it to you several times and you still forget it. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I meet a lot of people, and remembering a lot of names can be a challenge sometimes. And I always say, you know, it makes it easy for you guys. You just have to remember the one, and I have to remember all of them. But some of us are really good at that. We can remember names pretty easily, and others of us aren't the best at remembering names. But names are important. It's important to be recognized by your name. And again, whether that name carries traditional meaning or is simply important because it's your name, it's important to remember that. Kids especially, it's important for them to have their names remembered. If you've ever been in an elementary school classroom, either kindergarten or first grade, their names are written all over the place. We used to have name tags on our desks, and I know that most of them have tables now, but they still have names on there so they know where they sit and their place where they hang all of their stuff. Their names are there, and with their lunches, their names are there. It's important. Names are important. When we read in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, names are essential. Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Jesus. 1 through 17 is the story of Jesus' family. Not just his family of birth, but his family of heritage, his family of connection. Matthew traces Jesus' family all the way back to Abraham. He doesn't go as far back as Luke does. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Matthew stops at Abraham. But still, I think it ends up being 28 generations of Jesus' family. And we can spend a lot of time and sort of dissect all of the names in there, and sometimes people focus on a particular name or a particular person, and it may be because they have a particular identification with that person, or it may be that they just find that story interesting. There's lots of names. And each of those names carries a story, a reason that God chose that family, that lineage, to include with his son. There's a reason behind the name, a story behind the name. And just like all of you, there's a story behind your name. You're not just a face sitting there with a name with nothing, no connection, no history, no anything. There's a story behind your name. We identify with those stories. We connect with those stories. Some of us have very similar stories. Some of us have shared stories. Families have shared stories. But even in families, my brother's story is different than my story. My younger brother's story different than mine, and so on and so forth. But it's the name that's the key to the story. Without the name, the story is just a story and could be anybody. But once you put a name with it, it becomes your story. And how important is it that God chose you, your family, your heritage, no matter where it came from, no matter how dysfunctional and broken it is, or how disjointed the lineage is, or even if you know the lineage, it doesn't really matter, because it's your story, and each of you has one. And each of you in that story, God is at work in that story. God is Emmanuel in that story. He is with you in that story somewhere. Sometimes you can see it. You can see it active. God rescuing you from dangerous situations, or God at work bringing your family or your story along. Somewhere along the line, you can see God at work in your story. Not always. And that's part of a struggle for us, I think, because we look at Matthew chapter 1 and even into the second half of Matthew chapter 1 that we read here, with Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the Holy Spirit and Gabriel and Joseph, son of David, and all of the names that are connected there, and they carry such incredible weight. And you think, man, God must have just been so active and imminent and present in their lives throughout their whole story. But that's not the case. In fact, we only know bits and pieces what God has chosen to reveal to us about these stories. So I don't want you to think, first of all, that somehow these people in this story are more important or holier or more righteous than any of us. They were simply chosen to play a part in the story of Jesus, just like you. You've been chosen to play a part in the story of Jesus. Just as he was at work with all of these people, in Mary and in Joseph, he's at work in you. Now, we can go through, again, these names and find some that really you would think are questionable. Should they really be in God's story? You've got a prostitute who helped spies in Rahab. Should she really be in God's story? You've got David, even King David, who was a murderer and an adulterer and at times a horrible person. Should he really be in God's story? In the story of Jesus? Now, we can look at that in one of two ways. We can look at it and say, well, see, God uses messed up people. I'm a messed up person, so I fit into God's story. And we can use that as an excuse for being messed up people, right? We can sort of sit back on our laurels of messed upness and say, oh yeah, God uses all kinds of people, even a mess like me. I don't want to fix the mess. I'm just going to be a mess and say God's going to use it. And let's not be too, you know, lackadaisical. Yes, God uses all kinds of people. Messes as well as those who seem to be on the straight and narrow. But we don't want to use that as an excuse for poor choices or poor behavior. Matthew gives us this picture of the birth of Jesus, not in very Luke kind of terms where we hear the whole story. He sort of gives us the shortened version. Perhaps what's most important to him. He includes Joseph way more than Joseph gets included in other places. But it's important. Joseph's name in this lineage is important. He's the connection to David. He's the connection. That's why they went to Bethlehem, and you'll hear that on Christmas Eve, why they went to Bethlehem, because David was of the house and lineage of, or Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, so they go to Bethlehem. That's David's home city. So Joseph's the link. And he's married to Mary, well, betrothed. They're engaged. They haven't quite finished the whole thing yet. And Mary, we don't know really anything about Mary. We don't have any clue who this girl was, because in our terms, if we look at age-wise, she wasn't any older than 16. And we think, oh, yikes, that doesn't seem right. But that's the way society functioned back then, so we look at that and say, okay, that's the way God worked. But we don't know anything more. She was young, she was engaged, her name was Mary. We don't know much about her family. We don't know her history. We don't know the story. But she was chosen by God to carry Jesus. So we don't really need to know the whole thing. She knows the whole thing, and God knows the whole thing. But we need to know that she was chosen, that God said, you're going to carry my child. And as important as that was, it was just a piece of who Mary was. Because after Jesus was born, she still lived, right? We still hear her story. As Jesus goes about his earthly ministry, Mary is there by his side. As Jesus hangs on the cross, Mary is there. Throughout Jesus' story, Mary is there. Now, Joseph, after Jesus is about 12 years old in the story where Jesus is in Jerusalem and he's about 12, Mary and Joseph go back looking for him, and that's the last we hear of Joseph when Jesus was about 12 years old. So his story kind of comes to a conclusion somewhere. And each of our stories, at some point, will come to a conclusion. Next year we celebrate, as we've been saying, 100 years of stories here at Grace. Some of those stories have come to a conclusion. Some are still going. Some have gone on for 100 years or more. Some are just starting out. But God is at work. He is Emmanuel in all of those stories. In your story, in all of the names that have been part of Grace for the last 100 years, God has been Emmanuel. He has been with us. And he will continue to be with us. Brennan adds a punctuation to part of his story today. Confirmation is one of those punctuation marks. Most of us have been through it in one way or another. Some have had to endure the questioning, the countless hours memorizing the entire catechism. Brennan's going to recite everything he knows today. It's a punctuation mark. It's a part of Brennan's story. God was with him in his baptism all the way through, and now is with him in his confirmation and will be with him as he continues on in the church and in his life, just like you. And as God is with us and is Emmanuel, maybe another 90 years of Brennan's story, and he'll be able to tell it. And this will be one of those punctuation marks. When we put together funerals, there are points that we point to: birth, baptism, confirmation, and other events. And they're all connected with the name. This weekend, the 28th, we'll have another punctuation mark for Steve. We have birth, baptism, confirmation, and all of the other events that happened in between. And this will be a punctuation mark. So the whole thing is, this Emmanuel God that we have, this with us God, is with us the whole time, all the time, every time. He is always with us. And that name Emmanuel, is so important for us, so that we know that he is with each of us. Now, I'm not going to go around and try and remember everybody's name as you're sitting where you are. But just know that God is Emmanuel with you today and always. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, giving us that confidence that our names are remembered by God, the Creator of the universe. Amen.